And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast. The podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast. The podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Big D and Bubba podcast.
Yo, we got the podcast.
My son, by the way, is in this crazy rapping thing right now.
He's in a rapping phase?
Yeah, like he's back to being rapper Frank again.
Oh, see, I like that.
Yeah, he's. I need to bring him back in, like, to the studio.
I got and Instagram, and I got other stuff.
His rapping has gotten a lot better, dude. Now his freestyling, you know, it's still there, but he's been writing them down, and he's actually getting pretty good.
Good.
I'll bring him back in here to the beautiful Wrangler Rigs Studio. This is where I'm going to drop in my sponsor. Wrangler Rigs Studio is where we are doing the podcast from, and Wrangler Rigs work where it's comfortable, it's tough, wear it all day long, and feel good about it, baby. Get Frankie in here to make a Wrangler Rigs rap. Wrangler Rigs is really cool clothes, really tough from your head to your toes.
I see where he gets it. That was so good.
Yeah,
that's so right. Good.
I got skills, so you have, baby.
Do you have any of the are the girls musical at all?
Oh yeah, yeah. Ava, remember Ava won that that contest, that little singing contest at the fair? Like it was like
Oh yeah.
And you know, competition's stiff around here. You know.
Yeah.
She did well. She did well. So yeah, it's and then Olivia, she doesn't sing. She dances, which is really good. So I got a rapper, a country singer, a pop star. That's one kid. Then I've got Ava, who is going to define her own genre. And then I've got Olivia, who's going to be a doctor, which I think is pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah. She decided recently. You know when she decided she wanted to be a doctor? Whenever Lainey, our little dog, our my wife's Yorkie, got in a fight with the big dog, the golden doodle, and the golden doodle like snapped at it and somehow popped out the eyeball of the Yorkie.
Mm-hmm.
She leapt into it. Like she was like completely like coddling the one with the eyeball hanging out. And you know, we didn't want to push it back in ourselves because we don't know what we're touching. You know, you do it wrong and you ruin their eyesight forever. So she sat there and she held a little towel to the dog's eye to keep it, you know, the blood from getting everywhere. And she just, she was like awesome. It was amazing to see her do that because she's always been the one who's been grossed out by stuff. And then when that all happened, like she even said it, we're sitting in the waiting room waiting for the surgery to finish. And she said, you know, Dad, I think I could be a doctor or a veterinarian after today. She said, I wasn't ever grossed out. She's like, and I felt like I had a job to do. And I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So that's what she's leaning towards.
I sometimes wonder why our kids are all so different. You know, like you have one who does this and the other ones are completely different, opposite.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, it's good though.
Like your boys are completely different. You've got one who is all about being into everything athletics, and the other one who is absolutely amazing at magic and illusion. And you know, I'm a fan of that. I always have loved magicians and magic and illusion. And when Zach does the coin tricks or the card tricks or whatnot, I'm blown away every time. I'm like, I've always wanted to know how to do that stuff.
Yeah,
I watched that Penn and Teller show. Fool Us.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's great.
Great show.
And they like sit there and they talk in code. Oh, yeah, I loved your trick. I loved it so much, especially I found it very magnetic. And you get what I'm saying, right? And the guy's like, oh, yeah, you busted me. Okay, see you later.
So they say it without saying it.
Yeah, or yeah. They'll be like.
They don't want to give away the trick unless, but I've seen interviews with Penn where he says, unless you're just a total I'm looking for
copycat
the right word.
Or?
No, unless you're just being obstinate about it.
Oh.
You know, like, no, that, no. And if you don't cop to the fact that they caught you and you insist that they explain exactly how you did it, they will explain it. They
there's,
will. They will do it.
There's one guy, it was a card trick, and it was pretty amazing. And he goes, oh, yeah, I loved it. The trick was amazing. He goes, you know, you're also known for writing books, and you wrote the book on card tricks, and I've read the book. And the guy's like, oh, okay. And he's like, yeah, we figured out how you did it because we know some of your ways from the book.
Yeah.
Other ones, he'll say, oh, man, that was like a symphony for the eyes and the ears and blah, 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 blah. My favorite composer is Gronkowski. And you know what I'm saying there, right? And the guy goes, yeah. Yeah, you busted me.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so cool about it.
Yeah.
Remember that show that was on, like, what, about 5-10 years ago, where they had the guy and he would, like, show how the tricks were done on, like, Fox?
Yeah. I saw a thing where he revealed himself.
Who was it?
He was a magician guy. Yeah, you wouldn't know him.
He was.
But like he revealed himself. Huh?
Like no name whatsoever?
No, he had a name. Like he performed and stuff, I think. But he came out and said, you know, I've been doing this show and, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, I've been taking a lot of heat for it and I did it because, you know, what's happened now is that I've brought attention to the art of magic. And now, because you remember back then,
Val Valentino was his name.
Yeah, it came out, and when the show came out, like, people didn't really care about magic really so much. And it kind of brought some attention to it, and people got back into it some. And, you know, because he was, like, saying, these tricks are all kind of old and kind of worn out. So it's not like I'm giving away cutting-edge, you know, secrets.
Right.
So I kind of got it.
I did think it's kind of neat, like, I don't know, we're probably boring people because they may not be into magic, but I just want to tell you how cool it is that you're starting to see technology do it. Like, they busted one guy, Penn & Teller busted one guy. They said, can we take a look at your book or whatever his prop was? And he said, nah. He goes, it just seems a little long in the tooth, like long in the Bluetooth or something. And the guy goes, he started laughing. So he was using Bluetooth to tell what one person was doing with the other prop. And he's like, oh, yeah, you busted me. Ha ha ha. And he walks away.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's cool. Like technology starting to dive in and change the tricks up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Zach goes, not every week, but every other week, I guess, to a group of local magicians. And they're older, and they all kind of get together and talk about magic and what they're doing. And everyone who's there has to do one trick, and before in front of all the other magicians. And so Zach walks in. You know, he's obviously the youngest, at 15, and he goes in there and he does a trick. And in the past, it's always been like, hey, you know, it's pretty good. You know, you just remember you get. Well, this past week was the first time he did it, and they went, That's really good.
He blew their minds.
He goes, that's actually.
And did they all? Now, here's the thing, though. Do they all share their secrets? Like, do they go, okay, Zach, now how did you do that?
Yeah, I think they do. I think I've never been, but I think it's one of those things where they go,
well, he's going to let these other people steal his tricks. Then again, he gets to steal theirs.
Yeah, I think it's that they have a real code, I think, between themselves. But anyway, I think they already know how to do some of that stuff. But anyway, yeah, it's interesting. It's fun. Fun for him.
Remember back in the day when radio had a code? Like, you would have DJs wouldn't let you watch them on the air because you would reveal your secrets of how you do your phone calls and all that kind of stuff?
Yep.
That's gone.
You don't like when people watch us.
No, I don't like
you
it.
You don't like it.
I don't like it because, and I'll tell you why, it's not because I'm afraid of giving up a secret, because if it's somebody in the industry, I don't mind them in here. I don't like listeners watching us on the show because of the delay and the whole thing. There's a lot of mental.
It ruins the magic.
There's a lot of mental juggling.
I'm just saying, I never liked people watching me either when I was back when I did my own show. And it wasn't because I was worried about people stealing secrets. I just didn't like people being in the room.
There was a time when I was concerned about people stealing secrets because we practically invented what's known as voice tracking. I mean, we didn't invent it, but we stepped it up to an entirely different level that nobody thought was even possible.
Shoot us. Why do we do that?
Well, we did it, and
I know why we did it, because we were promised all this other stuff if we did.
Yeah.
That's
so,
why we did it.
So we developed it in a way that wasn't being used, and... of course, that company went, oh, wow, well, that's great. It sounds amazing, but it's way too hard for the average person to do, so we're not going to go that route. And we were able to get away from it ourselves because of that. God, I hated those days, man. because there were so many rules. You know, that's the thing. Whenever you're doing something a certain way, you have to do it a certain way every single time.
Yep.
And it sucked.
Continuity.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can see through it.
Yep.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. Patrick, we'll get into talking about my stalker in just a little bit because we've been getting text messages even off the air here, people wanting to know about it. Saying the podcast is going to be good. We had such a really creepy week. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
But Patrick's going to go and do some. What's your plans for this weekend?
I'm playing poker this weekend.
A big old tournament.
Huge poker tournament.
You and a bunch of dudes.
It's going to be like 2,500 people.
Sausage
there's always, you know, there's always a surprising number of ladies playing poker.
Oh, really?
In a tournament. Yeah.
How many people?
2,500 estimated in this one. Gonna take 4 days.
4 days?
What? Yep. There's four preliminary rounds, Thursday, Friday, Saturday morning, and Saturday night. And
how many days do you think playing. You're gonna make it?
No, I'm just gonna it's four preliminary rounds. You can play in one of them. And if you make it past the 5 or 6 hour mark, then you all the people from the first four rounds that make it to that point come back on Sunday and play until it's over. So I'm gonna just play Saturday and Sunday. But
wow.
I've never played in a tournament with more than 200 people. So this is more than 10 times that many.
What's the payout?
The top 40 players are guaranteed $5,000 a piece.
Oh, nice.
It's a $400,000 purse.
And you said how high did you end up that one time?
Oh, I finished as high as 11th in a tournament that big.
Which means you would be guaranteed to win $5,000 if you did that.
But 11 out of, 130 people. You know,
it's different than
top 40 out of 2,500, but it's worth the shot. I'll tell you this. It's a cheap vacation for me because it's the only place other than really being on vacation in another country or on a beach somewhere where I don't think about work. I don't think about my social life. What a disaster that my social life is.
Yeah.
And I don't think about food. Because normally I can get into places on a weekend where I don't think about work or I don't think about women or anything. But then I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, man, I'm hungry. I'm going to eat whatever. You know, that's the only place where.
You don't have to leave because they have a buffet.
No, I don't think about food. I'm saying I the whole time I'm playing, you know, if I play for 8 hours straight, it never occurs to me to stop to eat.
Will you drink?
Well, they bring you drinks, but I won't drink liquor while I'm playing poker, not in a tournament.
Because of your
You don't want to
screw shit,
mess up. It's interesting.
Can you count cards and all that?
I can't. I mean, no. With counting cards isn't a poker thing.
Oh,
I'd love. I bet though.
that was probably that's what me going. Can you throw a spiral?
Yeah. No, that.
Can you throw a spiral?
No,
in basketball can't. Or.
Yes, throw exactly. A spiral in basketball.
Basically what you just said.
You actually got me on that one. Because I was like, oh my gosh, he just said basketball. And I went, okay, no, he's joking.
The fun thing for me about poker is that I'm sure I have a tell and I don't know what it is. Like if there was a master poker player, I'm sure he could figure out what my tells are. Your tell, like when you have a good hand, you react a certain way. When you have...
Oh, like your nose will twitch or something, or your eyebrow will kick up.
The real master poker players aren't great at, playing the game or the math part of the game. They're great at watching you and seeing what you do and knowing whether or not you really
have it. If Bubba was playing, his tell would be,
start talking like a banana.
It would be.
I got an ace. Look at this. Oh, my God. Look at that.
When you look at a kid and you go, okay, don't smile. And they kind of do that. Their mouth goes real big. And they kind of. That would be him.
Yeah. I'm not a good poker player because of that.
Okay. Y'all have known me for years. I'm very fidgety. And I'm very. Like, I constantly am doing things with my hands, playing with the chips, playing with the cards, playing with my glasses,
and then whenever you have a good hand, stop fidgeting?
No, I don't. I consciously fidget the whole time and differently. So you can never tell what I'm doing, I'm so aware of my own mannerisms that I think I'm hard to read. And I think that's one of the reasons I'm good. You don't know what I'm going to do. You have no idea. You think I have a good hand? I'm going to look away. I'm going to look this way. I'm just saying. It's very.
I know.
It's very deliberate.
Tell me about it.
Shut up. You asked me to come in here. And Patrick is amazing. You asked me to come in here earlier. You said, so I was going to tell you this off the air. You said, no, save it for the podcast. Just so you could do that? Just so you could mock me?
You could say you're great.
God, you're a jerk. I hope they clip your nuts tomorrow.
Oh, they are.
They will. Oh,
they
good.
No, I didn't know that you were going to get you're not going to know what I'm going to do.
No,
I'm
I think you just found your tell.
Is that how he's, Bubba, let's go to the judge. Patrick thinks that Big D's a jerk. Big D says, well, it's the way you came off. You came off as the jerk. I just mirrored it to make fun of you being a jerk. The judge decides now.
Both jerks.
Yeah. You're both okay, that's jerks.
Probably true. But you are a jerk.
Yeah, I know.
So, all joking aside, you go in tomorrow.
Yeah.
What time? What's it? We haven't talked about this nearly as much as we did last time.
No, because it's just kind of, you know.
I got it.
More of the same.
I'm fascinated by the fact that they're gonna put you under. Like I.
Yeah, they're like actually knocking Big D out this time for the.
I had to go do that preliminary pre-op thing.
Yeah. Have you been knocked out before?
Yeah, when I have my knee surgeries.
Okay.
But he says. Yeah, we're gonna put you completely out. He had a term for it, like deep or really nice. I forget what it was. He said because that will allow him to get to be very, you know, letting
aggressive.
Be more. Yes, he said aggressive. And I was like,
I remember
so how sore.
I was completely. I didn't have any Xanax to calm me down. I had nothing but the painkiller shot in my hoo hoo. And that was it. The numbness was the only thing protecting me from the real life. And I remember how violent he was with me.
Oh, I know.
Aggressive isn't even the beginning of the word.
It's tugging and tugging.
I thought he was
going to
yank me off of the table.
I know. It's crazy.
Patrick, you have no idea. He's like, it's double. You know how how you are supposed to cross your hands and put them together like this if you're doing CPR on somebody? Now imagine that. It looks like that's what he's doing on your nether regions, and he's doing that, and then all of a sudden he's yanking really hard, and he's pulling at stuff, and then he's...
First off, can we stop and just say doorknob?
Doorknob is the word.
Doorknob is going to be the word for that. So yeah, he's down there yanking on your doorknob, and you're like... And your body's kind of moving, like he's pulling you. Like you're... he could pull you off that table.
It was crazy.
It was... I don't know what that tube is made of, but it's like stuff they should sell.
It's
like
not supposed to break.
Home Depot.
Yeah.
It's not.
It really is. When God designed the human body, he should have done our entire skin out of that stuff because it is the most impervious, strong thing ever.
So good that mine didn't even work. I have to go back and get it done twice.
Yeah, you do.
And I went in there and I was talking to the lady, and they're, you know, like I told you on the air, they're very, you know, clinical and, okay, and your date of birth and last four digits, your social security, and this and that. And what is it you're going in for? I'm going in for a vasectomy. Okay, my second. And then they completely break character. Oh, hell no!
Uh-uh.
Your second
really?
One!
What, number
what?
Two?
Yeah. Yeah. I go, oh, you don't get that very often? No. I've been here 20 years. I've never seen that. But it
which
happens.
You know, which we all know is a lot.
It's got to be a lot.
It's got to be a lot.
Because what happens is most guys, I do too. What happens is guys get it done and they don't do the testing phase. They just think, oh, what's done? That's what my neighbor did.
Well, that's what I did
for the longest time. Going to do.
Yeah, I was going to just never go in and get a check to see if it had taken and the doorknob sterilization worked. And then yours came back as positive. To where you could still have babies, and I went, "Whoa, I need
now,
to really go have mine checked."
Yeah, and now it's not a lot, you know. He told me he told me there's 10 to the such and such power. I'm like, "What do you? What? Stop!" I go, "Tell me like it's like a football stadium. How many people are in this football stadium?" He goes, "Okay, normally before the surgery, you would have an average, which is half of the stadium would be full." Okay. What is it now? Now it's like 8-12
now
guys.
It's like when it's a 49-7 blowout and the home team is the one losing.
Trying to beat traffic.
And, you know, yeah, and so people just,
they're,
it's
bolting,
like 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Yeah, it's like that.
It's like that. It's like 8-12 people down on the sideline drinking, having
but
a party.
But you know, one of those gets lucky.
Yep,
one of those. Finds his way through. And
that's what he said. He goes, it only takes one, man. And he goes, and they're drinking. And I was like, yeah. So, yeah, I go in for that. You know, the biggest thing is, man, I'm not, because I'm going to be out. So I'm not going to feel it, all right? I'm going to wake up. I'm going to go to sleep. A second later, I'm going to wake up, and it's going to be done. And then I'm going to be kind of numb. All right, I got it. So I'm not going to be terrible. It's when I get home, that's the pain. Mm-hmm. What I'm really concerned about, you remember this, going to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks. There's no way into it. You feel like you have elephantitis. You feel like you're dipping into the water. It's terrible. It's awful.
Sneezing. Oh, do you remember sneezing?
Coughing, sneezing, moving, walking, breathing.
Not breathing, breathing.
And listen, this is in no way are we trying to say this is, well, women are the worst about this. When you start talking about it,
they go, oh,
you don't know.
You never had a baby.
Oh,
you don't
know. Oh, that's just, you know what? To me, that's, you're a terrible person if you do that.
Yeah.
Because that's something that we would never do. We would never do that to you.
Nope. Yeah.
And because we tried it once and we got kicked in the doorknob. But no. But be respectful. Okay. It is painful and it is, you know, I'm doing it.
We're doing it.
That's right. You could have done it. You know, but we didn't. We stood up. We did our part because you did something 10 times worse. Harder.
But you
worse,
don't have to remind
harder
us.
Yeah, don't play that. Oh, I hurt more than you did.
And please don't belittle the pain
thank
of
you
the doorknob snip snip.
You're
because
right.
I'm going to tell you right now, looking back, like if somebody said, oh, I'm going to do it, I can go today. I can go, no, this is, yeah, it's fine. Because as time passes, you forget the pain.
Yep.
But then as I think about it, I think about those days immediately
yep
afterwards.
Yep.
It took me, because you healed pretty fast, it took me about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And we only took a week off of our travel schedule. And that second week,
yeah,
I thought I was going to die.
Yeah, you were back at it. You were back on the road. You're back still doing the thing.
And
I, you know what I do? I go back to whenever I've done the same,
you
know, way.
I wore,
time, well, you forget it.
I wore a cup thing, a jock strap for like a month because it hurt for a month.
I didn't do that.
Yeah, dude, just walking
go back
and they
to,
sway and.
I was texting Bubba down the hall as soon as I got out.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
I hadn't even gotten to the discharge office or whatever.
You said, thing, dude, don't do this.
That's exactly right, because I wanted to be fresh. I knew what I was saying. I was not on any kind of drugs. I was like, don't do it. It's awful and terrible. It is a biggest upsell I've ever seen in medicine. It is not an 8-minute procedure. It does hurt you.
Yeah.
It is not one shot in the upper part of your doorknob. It is 5 shots straight into the keyhole.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not what they tell you it is. And you get in there, and
they
then
sell
once
you a bill of goods,
they sell
man
to get you in there. Because once you get in there,
you can't leave.
Once I shave that, I'm in. And so once you've already done all that, they know you're not going away. And so they got you. And they're going to be done. Boom, done. It's
yeah
it's a racket. It's
they
a racket.
Also know
and I told
you,
my doctor that too. I said, this is a racket. And I said, listen, hey, good on you, man. You got me. I'm pretty sharp. And good for you. You got one over on me.
You fooled me.
You fooled me twice, bro. I'm
going to
do it twice. I'm not paying for it. I asked him, I said, so.
This one's free, right?
How are we going to, how's the thing? He goes, well, I'm not going to pay. I'm not going to charge you for this.
You're okay. Dang right, you're not.
And I was like, yeah, okay. What else I get? And
man,
yeah, so anyway, so that's going on for me, yeah, and then there's that the other thing we dealt with this week.
No, the stalker, the Brian issue. Gotti beard. So somebody in his family,
I wouldn't even go there, man.
Okay.
I wouldn't do that.
I wasn't going to say what you're saying. I was going to say someone in his family had deleted everything that he posted.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All of his Facebook reach outs have all gone away.
Recently?
Yep.
Oh, really? It's too bad that we have all that saved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And Big D has the pictures of his doorknob that he sent.
Just a little manscaping, please.
He showed you his Gotti beard.
Oh, he showed you his Gotti beard, all right.
Someone was asking me, they said, so like, why would he send you those pictures? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, that's weird, though. I go, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And they're like, but I mean, why would he send you that? I'm like, I don't know. I mean, he's, I don't know. A loon? I couldn't tell you. Like, no. Did you say something? No, I didn't say anything to him. I said, I've talked to him twice. The first time I've talked to him on text, the first time it was when I didn't know. It was like, Big D, question mark? And I'm like, yes. And then it got all flibbly flob.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, what's that? And it didn't respond. And the second time I responded was when I get a text message from someone that said, hey, Big D, is this you? Yes. It was him. He used another phone.
Yeah, when you text the request line, 99.999999% of the time you're getting Big D.
And so, and then when we talked to him on the phone, man, that was, to me, when he sent the dirty pictures, okay, the pornography or whatever to me of his stuff.
Enough.
That was it. You know, we tried to ignore it for a long, 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 long time. And as annoying as it is.
Months, by the way, months.
And as it's annoying to see that he's texting me 80 times a day on the request line. Not my phone. Everyone gets confused about that. You can text our phone number, 800 number. And as annoying as it is, no harm. He's just saying the same thing over and 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 over again. I just got to the point I just ignored it. But then when he started sending me pictures of his feet. He sent me pictures of his legs.
And I never thought it would get to that place where clearly he was just working up the I don't know if it's the nerve or the testing the water. Oh, he can send you a picture of his feet and then his knees. And then, oh, he went a little higher, you know.
Yeah.
It's weird. So here's something. We got a little bit of flack from some people who just wanted to hear something different than what they heard, which is really frustrating. But a couple of those people said, well, you know, he's not really a stalker. How do you know? Okay, what's the definition of a stalker? Because I've had a stalker before. Bubba's had a stalker.
Yeah, this is different than that. However,
but, no, I looked up some psychological stuff last night on stalker cases, and it is creepy how much this is stalker behavior.
Really?
Yes, because what a stalker is usually someone who's mentally unstable. Okay, not crazy, but
just got a little something going on.
Yeah, but mentally challenged usually, okay? Mm-hmm. The really infamous ones are. Mm-hmm. And they'll reach out. They'll develop an obsession first. Mm-hmm. We don't know if he had one or not.
Pretty sure he did.
Okay. Then they'll finally reach out. And if they don't get anything, they'll move on to somebody else or they'll just sit. They'll reach out and they'll reach out and they'll reach out. And then if they get a response, that's in most of the cases I read with the guy Hinckley with the guy from the My Sister.
Oh yeah, My Sister Sam.
Yeah. Yeah, that shot the girl from that thing. They got some sort of response, and then in their mind,
probably just the star or the celeb saying, you know, something, just trying to be nice to a fan.
Mm-hmm. With the My Sister Sam guy, Pardo, he got or Pando, I can't remember exactly what his name was. He got a form letter back from the agent. With an autograph, and that was
enough.
Yeah, all you did was reply. You know, hey, is this Big D? Yes, and then that was a personal connection. Mm. So, I don't know. I'm not saying the guy's dangerous. We don't know. I'm saying we couldn't take that risk anymore. It was starting to look like someone who didn't know when to stop when you said stop. Okay, if they don't know when to stop when you say stop, what do you know?
Yeah.
What else don't they know?
We told him to stop. And it came back with, you know, I'm sorry. And this is crazy.
70 more messages.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
That's in the gold, by the way, now. That's the only unfunny gold that is in the gold.
Did that not give you goosebumps? Something's wrong with your goosebump machine.
Freaks me out, man. Because before that, it was all like, hey, let's be friends. Come on, let's be friends. You want to? You want to be friends? And then you were like, no, I don't want to be friends. Can I talk to your mom? And whenever you finally said like four times, can I talk to your mom? Can I talk to your mom? Please let us talk to your mom, because we could hear somebody in the background. He got very quiet. About 10 seconds passes without saying anything, and then you hear,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then hang up.
Man, I hope he gets help. I really do. I just want him to leave me alone. Just leave me alone. I did not ask for, you know, pictures of your junk. I did not ask to get 80 text messages a day, you know, over and over and over. I just didn't.
If you were a girl, this would absolutely be the worst thing ever. And I think that's what people, you know, sometimes there is a double standard. And because he's a guy and he's a big guy, people are like, Big D, this kid's harmless. Because we have people mad at us. Mm-hmm. People are furious at us because they're going, look, he's mentally challenged. We heard the phone call.
He's mentally challenged. So was John David Hinckley. Okay.
Yeah. But
he
shot
the president of the United States because he was crazy and mentally challenged and was stalking a celebrity and then got it in his head that he needed to shoot the president.
That's what I wanted to say is that, you know, people can defend this guy all they want. And look, we understand. I understand completely. I have a nephew of mine who has autism, and I love him like nobody's business. But things don't process the same way with him as they do with us. Like if some music is too loud, he'll get very angry. Angry, like, get me out of here. The music is way too loud. And that's what I'm saying. It's unlike you, you'd cover your ears and walk out. But instead, he would act out on it. And it's just a different process. And I think about this guy and potentially where he could go. And, you're my friend, dude. And I think all those people who, and you actually said it jokingly, every time somebody would call up and go, it's usually a lady, by the way, who defended him. Big D jokingly said, why don't we give him your number and tell him to call you 80 times a day and text you 80 times a day, and we'll see how you feel about
it. Send you pictures
when
of
he his starts
stuff.
Sending you pictures of his doorknob.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's a different thing then, isn't it?
Yeah, it's totally different when it's not in your backyard.
Yeah, and I put up with it. It's not like this happened one day and I
flipped
out.
What was the first reach out? Like in January?
Yeah, he reached out in January and we didn't reply on Facebook.
Months and months.
It started again in May.
And then from May, it's been nonstop.
Yeah. And so, you know, I won't go into, because I don't think it matters, but I will tell you some of the behind the scenes. Police are involved. Several agencies are involved. Private investigators are involved. Because if the police run into a snag, I want the other agency to be able to get it. And if that other agency can't get it, then I want the private guys to be able to get it. I want someone else's team who's working on it to get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, trust me, this will be over.
Nothing will fall through the cracks.
None. It'll be done. It'll be over with. And I hope that he gets help. I hope that he is fine and can get on meds or whatever he needs to do. But his days of reaching out to me and making me feel uncomfortable and sending me unsolicited.
It makes me feel
pornographic pictures are over.
I was going to say, it makes me feel better that I blocked him off of my Twitter a long time ago, because it keeps him from reaching out to me. Patrick, did you block him from your personal one?
I hadn't blocked him yet. Mostly,
you should, because
mostly because
he may, if Big D now.
I can't block any of it.
I
leave it all open.
Yeah. I know you've got to leave it all open because the.
And I was leaving mine for the
people
same
that are involved.
Just because
I don't want him reaching out to me ever.
Yeah, but I mean, I've got to have it just for the investigation stuff.
Yeah.
Looking at whatever avenues need to be gone down to handle this, you know, as far as a Let's leave it at that. So,
whew.
Anyway.
Interesting week.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm fine. It does not, he's not ruining my life. I will tell you this, though. I do look around a little bit more when I'm at my son's football game.
Yep.
I do look around when I'm driving home. I do check my mirrors more, you know. But what are you doing, Bubba?
I'm trying a phone call here. I don't know if he's going to answer.
You calling Bubba?
No. This is a guy who listens to all of our podcasts every week, and he said he reached out
to us. You have reached the voicemail box of
40. So anyway, he reached out and he said, hey, I'd love to be on your podcast. You should have me on sometime. And I said, DM your number to us, your cell number. We'll call. So I was going to get him on. DJ Prince. Huh. Money Talk Hip Hop, yo. Oh, wow. For real, that's what he's got on
his
Twitter.
Is that really his thing?
That's his Twitter, Money Talk Hip Hop. Well, I was going to have him on. I wanted to see what he had to say.
Money Talk Hip Hop?
Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. He listens to our pop. Here, I'll send the thing. Very, very cool dude. Seems like a
Money
fan
Talk
of
Money Talk Hip Hop.
Yeah, like he quotes like podcast quotes and replies to things that we've done. So I was kind of looking forward to having him on just because, you know, I wanted to get the Money Talk Hip Hop swing on this. And I wanted to see kind of.
DJ was in his Peck, print. Yeah, man.
He's in OKC.
Oklahoma City.
My old stomping ground.
Well, that's true. I always forget that.
I lived in Oklahoma City for
a
little while.
He does his own podcast, by the way.
I hated Oklahoma City.
Really?
I'm sorry for those who live there.
What did it ever do to you?
Oh, it just is. it is.
But you moved there when you were...
When I was, younger. Boy, that was a
That's probably
shock.
One of those things where you didn't want to move... Period,
yeah,
right?
Didn't want to move. And then the country boy from Cookeville, Tennessee moves to Oklahoma City.
Which I would think would be country. No?
What? Oklahoma City?
Yeah.
It's different.
It's more Western, I found. Then, anyway, it was more Western-y than country. You know, like there's a difference between.
No, there is.
That's why there was country and Western. Both kinds of country. Woo! And now when you say both kinds of country, you go rap and country.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I ruined your thing.
Yeah.
It's more Western-y there. Now
yeah, and so anyway, I'd show up. I'm like, hey, how y'all doing? And they're like, say that again. Hey, how y'all doing? Like, what's wrong with you? What do you mean? Why do you talk like that? I'm from Tennessee. You're from where? I'm from Tennessee. Wow. Hey, get a load of this guy. Tell him where you're from. I don't want to say. Tell him. I don't want to say. Come on. And then I'm like
Tennessee.
Five times our size. Tennessee. I would have made fun of me too, I guess.
Yeah. That's the problem. Now you would be the one of the people making fun of you.
I'm from Tennessee.
Where are you from? I'm from Tennessee.
I can't tell you how many times people talk to me and they're like, you don't sound like you're from Louisiana. Because over all the years, you just lose it, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when you work at it. It's called non-regional diction. And I've been working on it since I was 14 years
old.
They
make you do it in radio, like in the early part. Now I think, you know, there's something missing to that because it becomes a character then. You know, make everybody sound, you know, like they're completely Midwestern. You know,
I got somebody just sent me a text.
Uh-oh.
Somebody just sent me a text. It's a cool dude. I just fat fingered it.
By the way, our phones are hard to dial because we have big fingers and we have tiny little buttons.
And it's dark in here.
And it is dark.
Telling you, I can hardly see.
We need glow paint.
We need
on those numbers.
I just wish we had light on the phone bank.
Like, how about this, guys? How about we get some lights?
No,
dude. We turn up the lights.
Look at my keyboards. Look at my keyboards. My keyboards have lights built into the keys.
I like when the cavemen complain that it's dark in here.
Come on. This is
answer your phone, Airwolf.
Come on, Airwolf.
I'm Stringfellow Hawk from Airwolf.
Let's go, String. Answer your
phone,
String.
Has been
Oh, man.
What's up? That's my dad. He sent me a text. I was going to see what's up with the old...
I know where he's from.
Oh, Lair.
He's from Tennessee.
He's from Oklahoma. That's why I was there.
He's from Tennessee.
He's from Ponca.
Ponca City.
Yeah. Yeah, what else is going on? Anything else?
I played golf this week.
How'd you play? I didn't even talk to you about that.
My annual golf... Every year...
Bubba plays golf once a year.
Once a year I play in my kid's school golf tournament. And you know what's crazy is next year is my last one because my son's going into middle school. So I'm kind of sad about that. I get one more round of golf, and then what am I going to do? When am I ever going to play golf again?
Sounds like you're really going to miss it since you...
No, you know what's funny?
So much time for it.
What's funny is I actually have a good time playing once a year. I know that sounds goofy and whatever. What happened is back in the old days, Big D and I used to play 3 times a week, wouldn't you think? At least?
Yeah, I guess so.
And we were playing, we were getting pretty good. And then what happens is in golf, you get good enough to be almost good, and then you don't progress. You stall out. And what happened is when I hit that moment, that spot of stalling out, I was not good enough to compete with the guys I was playing with, and it just frustrated me. And I got to where I hated the game. And now just going out once a year is fantastic. I go. It's a scramble. So I have one job, and that is to crush the living poo out of the ball and hit it really far. Mm-hmm. And that is fun. That's fun. By the way, we used one of my approach shots on the 18 and about 4 of my putts as well.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a pretty big shocker.
That is impressive.
I also broke my driver.
The good one?
Yeah, that TaylorMade.
At the shaft on the head?
No, I crushed the head. Henry Cho is a comedian, and I was
what
playing
do you mean
with Henry.
Crushed the head?
I crushed the head, like the
actual
the actual golf club itself, the aluminum. Yeah, whatever you want to call
part,
it, that
you hit
is
so hard
it
to the
cracked,
ball.
It cracked, and it's like, and yeah,
an animal. You really are. You're like a gorilla. You're like one of those gorillas that they
it
teach
really is.
To
Watching
golf.
Watching Bubba hit a golf ball with a driver is one of the most impressive physical things I've ever seen.
It really is. Because it's just like this, it's just, there's so much torque. Just so much. And when the ball comes off, when it comes off that tee, you can hear it. It's crazy. Like nobody else does that. I play golf with a lot of people.
I'm going to try to get.
Nobody else does that.
Try to get Henry on here. Yeah, he was like, he's like, when we get to the turn, I've got to go get you another club because there's no way you can keep playing with this. And I was like, nah, man, I got this. It's mine. You know, because one of the guys wanted me to borrow his from that point on. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to borrow your driver. I just broke the head of mine. The ball smashed
it. Henry, sorry, I missed your call. Leave right, your name and number. I'll call you back promptly.
Oh, his uncle passed away.
Oh,
I know.
The one, oh, okay. Well, he said to make sure to tell you.
Oh, yeah, I knew.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
I knew
we were
that.
Talking about that.
Dr. Cho.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, now I need a new driver.
Dr. Cho never liked me.
Really?
No.
I think you should explain to people that Henry Cho, the comedian, his uncle or his cousin was one of your best friends in high school, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why, like, it's a weird conversation up to that point if you don't know that. Oh, his uncle died. Yeah, Dr. Cho never liked me. I'm thinking people listening going, what just happened?
Dr. Cho would have done your doorknob surgery, though.
No, he was not that kind of doctor.
Oh.
He was
A kind and gentle doctor.
No, he was a college professor?
Yeah, math.
Oh, even kinder and gentler.
PhD in economics.
Yeah, well.
I would go over to his house, and he'd be reading an economic book, like...
Yeah, and it's like
a textbook.
Like for enjoyment.
It's 4 inches thick. Yeah.
And he would put it up, and then he would go pick another one out and start reading it. And I'm like, wow, I'm just here to play ping pong because they all know people who had a ping pong table. Well, David Wiley had one, but he lived way out in the country.
Dude, that is so stereotypically racist. I would go to the Asian people's house to play ping pong.
It didn't even occur to him.
I didn't even think of it. No, but they
it
really did.
Bill, it wasn't racist. That was the only Asians they had. Okay.
That's right. Hey, where were you? I was at some Asians. Oh, you're at
the Cho's.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They got a new golf ping pong table. Yeah, I saw that. No, they're great. And I'll tell you something. Steve is his son, Dr. Cho's son. Brilliant. Great guy. Went on and went to West Point. Graduated top of the class. And last I heard, he was
like an admiral or something.
I don't think that's in the Army, is it? But he was in Afghanistan with a bunch of tanks. He was commander of a huge amount of tanks, and
that's cool.
It is cool, you know. And I'm over here making prank phone calls and talking about my stalker.
I know. I say that all the time. I'm like, oh gosh.
It's funny how people make their living though. When you talk to, old high school people, friends and stuff.
I met up with my best friend from middle school at Christmas. And I mean, it's a guy who was one of my roommates in college. Like we stayed in touch for years. Now he lives in Seattle, and he works for one of these really, these grassroots organizations, like really trying to help people like doing it. And he's like one of the heads of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like doing all this stuff to help people and change the world. And he's like, you know, what are you doing? What are you up to these days? Oh, we tell jokes on the radio and play country music. It's great.
Yeah. And you know, it's not even great.
And
it's not even jokes. We just talk about things going on in our life.
Yeah.
You know? And,
we have a bunch of amazing guests. I'm just going to run through again some of the guests from this past week. Joe Nichols hung out, Old Dominion, Aaron Watson, Kanan Smith. I mean, that's cool. And we do the silly stuff.
Yeah.
And we talk about the scary stuff.
The point of this was to say that, you know, other people are out there saving lives, changing lives, and, you know, we asked Kanan Smith about what his grandpa smelled like this week. But, I mean... And talk to that guy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
It's kind of a mood killer.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it really is.
Hopefully it's just a mood killer.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think it's fine. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. It's all good. But I'm going to get my doorknob cut on tomorrow. Patrick's going to win a ton of money this weekend.
He's going to come back $5,000 richer.
Yeah, he is.
Actually, he's going to come back $4,000 richer because he's going to be spending $1,000 in his celebration dance.
Probably.
Yes, yeah.
He's going to be making it rain. We're such dorks.
God, yes,
we're
so, like, what's the whiter of white? That's what I am.
White.
I'm almost like clear.
If you were any whiter, you'd be see-through.
That's right.
All right. Well, I'm going to get this out there because we need to. We got to talk about our Casper mattresses. They're really, really cool.
Oh, yes.
You know, you got kids back in school. Everything's going crazy. You got Halloween coming up. All the vacations are out of the way. Now life gets crazy busy. And a busier day means that you're going to bed later and you're trying to cram a quality night's sleep into just like 4 or 5 hours at the most. And you need to do yourself a favor. Get a Casper. It's an award-winning mattress that is engineered for supportive comfort, keeps you cool through the night. No matter how many hours of sleep that you'll get, you wake up refreshed, ready to take on the day, thanks to your Casper mattress. If you want to check it out for yourself, Consumer Reports, Bloomberg, Wall Street Journal, they're all going crazy about it. They're saying, what? These are awesome mattresses. And what's even cooler is that it'll come to your house in a box. Like a regular box, and you just bring it up to your room, you take it out of the box, you lay it on the thing, you cut the plastic, and it's like it kind of explodes and turns into this tiny little package.
So great.
Into a full-size, awesome mattress. It's really mind-blowing how they do it. Again, it ships for free to you. It ships for free in a little, I say little box. I mean, when you think about a full-size mattress, it definitely is. And you can put it into your home for 100 nights risk-free. If you don't love your Casper, they're going to pick it up and then refund you everything. Get your Casper online. You're going to experience better sleep, brighter days. Life is good. Again, real simple. Try it for 100 nights in your own home with free shipping and returns. Go to Casper.com and use the code Bubba. Do that for the $50 towards the purchase of your mattress. That's Casper.com, code Bubba. And that's $50 towards the purchase of your Casper mattress. Casper.com. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm sorry.
Are we done now?
We're done.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
And we'll try again next week, DJ Prince. Bye.